Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You're Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel, your host, so happy to bring you your team every day. With a day off between games 3 and 4 of the Western Conference Finals, I wanted to get into an idea that originally was going to wait until the possibility of the Warriors clinching a spot in the NBA Finals, but I just felt like doing it today, which is going through the idea of what the Warriors minute distribution, more so than rotation, could look like in the NBA Finals. And so, for those of you who've been longtime listeners of the show, you can remember that I've done this for the overall playoffs, but remember that the playoffs, broadly speaking, especially for a team like the Warriors, is an escalation in terms of minutes. So, when you look at the average for an entire playoff run, the finals will be above that average and other series will be below it. And that is particularly notable for the Warriors in this year because they haven't really pushed their guys too hard at this point. And so one of the biggest changes that is available to them, and this could come in a couple different forms, is that they can benefit from just playing their best players more. So this gets a little bit challenging with the Warriors because both of the last two NBA finals are aberrations in their own way. Last season, Stephen Curry was still hurt. He was playing, but he was still hurt. And so that affected rotations. Also, they dealt with injuries to Andrew Bogut, dealt with Iguodala not being quite himself in the later part of that series. And of course, they also have the addition of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has played in NBA Finals, but that was way back in 2012 when he was a member of the Thunder and they faced LeBron in the Heat. So figuring out a calibrator for him is a little bit challenging. The basic part is pretty easy to understand, though, because there are 240 minutes in a standard NBA game. Add an extra 5 minutes per position if they're going to go to overtime, but 240 is a good number to work from for a lot of different reasons. And because of the aforementioned issues with 2016, I actually went back to 2015 for the holdovers for the Warriors in terms of the All-Stars. It gets a little bit more complicated when you're looking at other guys. But I went back to that series because the Warriors were full strength, and while their team and Cleveland are both different now than they were then, it's not that far off. So it's a relatively decent comparison, and then I also throw in some other developments as I see them. But let's start with the Warriors' holdover three All-Stars. So in 2015, Stephen Curry played 42.5 minutes per finals game. And something that's important to note is that the first two games of that finals, those two games were at Oracle, both of them went into overtime, so that adds a little bit in terms of the potential minutes played. And then they also had one game that got out of hand a little bit late. So Curry played, I think he even played 41 minutes, and I think it was game 4 in Cleveland where the Warriors ended up winning by 20, but it was a fourth quarter push. So it's not as much of that, you know, like, oh, you're up by 20 in the third quarter and then you really tone those guys' minutes down. So Curry, 42.5, that's a lot. And it's certainly possible. So when you 42 minutes, basically, even if you take a little bit off because of the idea that those two games went to overtime, you're looking at between 3 and 4 minutes off, if you want to leave a little bit for overtime, 3-4 minutes off per half. So that means he's coming in, if he wants to do the whole finish the first, finish the third part, coming in probably around the first real stop, the first long stoppage in that second and fourth quarters. And that's a huge tactical advantage for the Warriors because just having him on the floor for a larger proportion of the time gives them an offensive focus. It's something that their opponent, which presumably will be Cleveland, but Cleveland did lose to Boston in game 3, which was a big surprise considering they're up 21 midway through the third quarter, ended up blowing it late. Not going to talk too much about that. So Curry playing 42.5 is big. And then I'm tentatively using Ian Clark as a Curry foil. So the idea there is Clark will presumably play the competitive minutes that Curry does not. And so that would be 5.5 for right now, because if you're playing Curry, 4-2.5, 5.5. There is a chance that they would play Clark and Curry together, but I don't really see that. And Mike Brown, Steve Kerr, both guys have been pretty comfortable giving Clark those true blue second unit minutes. So I think that's a reasonable proxy. So I actually put that in my Excel as a calculator, where they work off each other, where they combine for 48 minutes. So you slide those to Ian Clark if Curry doesn't have them. So he's first. Klay Thompson is really fascinating, because Klay Thompson played a little less than 38 minutes per game in the 2015 finals, and I thought that was on the low end for him. He doesn't always play the most minutes, but that just seemed a little bit low. So I went and looked at 2016, and he actually played fewer minutes. He played a little over 35 per game. So I'm going to use that a little over 37 as the calibrator for him. And then Draymond Green played 37 flat in the 2015 finals, and then 40 per game of the six games that he played in the 2016 finals, because he was suspended for game 5, but you could still get his minutes per game. And considering the rest of the finals, I don't think it was like, oh, he got so much rest in that game that they're going to, by not playing in game 5, that he's really going to get worked hard, except that he wanted to play more considering everything that was going on. So if you put him at 37, then you're really starting to get there in terms of the Warriors' main guys. At that point, you're already at 117 minutes, which is almost exactly half of the 240 that a team has in a game. So that's a pretty notable step, just to go with those two. Then the next guy is Kevin Durant. Durant hasn't played in the finals since 2012, so the best calibrator of a series that we have is the 2016 Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. In that series, he played 41.3 minutes per game, and I would actually probably tone his minutes back a little bit, because Scott Brooks, actually that was Billy Donovan that series. Sorry, Scott Brooks. Billy Donovan, I thought, was pushing Harden and Westbrook and Durant a little bit too hard in that. And so if you want to tone him back, you can. But I would also say that if putting Draymond at 37, those two things kind of balance together. So I actually kind of liked putting it in that way. So you had one on the higher end of their expectations, one on the lower end. Feel like that's going to work out. So now you're at 158.6 minutes. So only have 80 minutes in a game left. And think about all the guys that are left. Not only every single person who's going to play center other than Draymond Green, but Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, those Ian Clark minutes, Patrick McCaw, Matt Barnes maybe. And that's why you should start to feel like, okay, the Warriors really have something here, because they can play their four All-Stars something like all but 80 minutes of the game. And the next big question is not one of a single player, but of a collection of players, and that is how the Warriors want to use their centers. Because this is partially about those guys individually, and partially about how much the coaching staff wants to go to Draymond Green at center. It should become apparent, it should be apparent right now, it shouldn't even have to become apparent, that the Warriors' best lineups against Cleveland specifically involve Green at center. It forces Tristan Thompson out of the paint. While he is good on switches, we actually saw this in the game against Boston tonight, their help defense without him is inconsistent, and it requires a lot out of LeBron. And as I talked about on yesterday's show, with the kind of the idea of Kevin Durant in a series against Cleveland, they're going to have to make some really tough decisions when it comes to how they want to handle LeBron. So the more the Warriors stretch the floor, the more they're challenging Cleveland's defense and putting them in stressor positions that they don't really have ways of addressing. And that was part of the story in the game against Boston tonight, but not a huge part of it. But it is a huge part against the Warriors, because the Warriors are the best team in the league at creating and then attacking those seams, either through that player one-on-one or through cuts and guys coming off screens. So the Warriors can get those Kevin Durant just like waltzing into the basket for a dunk, those types of plays, a little bit more frequently against Cleveland than against some other teams. So I actually think of the centers as a collective unit, as opposed to thinking of them individually, and I think that's helpful. And my tentative sense is that it's probably going to be about 20 minutes a game for Green at center, because the staff has been so reluctant over the course of these playoffs, but really every time other than going down 2-1 in the 2015 finals, to go to that lineup, even if they acknowledge that it's their best five. So they've been reluctant to do that. Iguodala, the Nicky Wren thing was important in that time, and then they freaked out and did a couple of different things in the finals last year, but it's not their preferred strategy. So if you ballpark Green at center for about 20, maybe shifting up to about 25 minutes, I think it should be 25 or more, then you're giving the centers collectively between 23 and 28 minutes per game. And so if you're putting the centers at, if you're going to put them at, let's say, 26, just kind of in the middle of that, you're starting to get there in terms of the minutes played. And if it is about 26, my inclination is that while I disagree with this in terms of what I would do if they gave me unilateral control over the team, Pacioli has been playing about 14 minutes a game in the playoffs, 14.5 to be exact. And he makes some sense if they're going to go traditional center at the beginning of the first and third quarters. He's not a bad option. I think JaVale McGee is certainly a more inspired pick. They might have to play it by feel a little bit. But so you go with those guys, and then presumably David West is going to get his minutes at the start of the second and the fourth quarters, even if they're going to have play Draymond and Durant together. Presumably during that stretch, it will probably be with a center on the floor. And something else worth noting here is that Channing Frye has basically been out of Cleveland's rotation during the Eastern Conference Finals. Some of that has come from Tristan Thompson just playing a ton of minutes. But if Channing Frye is out, that really changes things, partially for David West, but actually more specifically for JaVale McGee, because JaVale McGee, by and large, has struggled against true stretch fives. And that makes sense. He's better at defending, you know, helping at the rim than defending in space. And if Frye is largely out of the picture, then that changes the way that Brown, Kerr, whoever's coaching the team at that point, can handle the way they're going to manage these centers. It also opens up more real estate for Zaza Pachulia. If he's playing well in the first, maybe you bring him back in for a little stretch in the second or the third, depending on rest. I think that could be interesting. But again, if you want to ballpark it about 26 minutes per game for centers, then you're starting to get into the big numbers. And then the other two major questions left are the two veterans who are also unrestricted free agents this summer, Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. So Livingston is averaging about 16 minutes per game in the playoffs. That seems reasonable in terms of his workload in a potential finals, but remember the way that he is being used in these playoffs. By and large, what he is serving as is a Klay Thompson replacement. He is not playing in the second unit. He is not functioning in those minutes where Curry is off the floor, and he has done well. I mean, I'm not criticizing that in any way, but that becomes relevant because just like Ian Clark's minutes could shrink without Curry out there, if one of the main roles for Livingston is as a Klay Thompson replacement, if Thompson's minutes start sliding up, then Livingston's minutes can easily slide down. So if Thompson, I have his current estimate, is about 38 minutes per game, that might constrict Livingston to less than the 16, but that's not a big deal because we're not incorporating that many minutes left, so there isn't that much to go through. And then the last guy that is actually the hardest single player to calibrate a minutes estimate is Andre Iguodala. Iguodala has been a fixture in the best parts of what the Warriors have done the last few years. His injury late in the finals, or just the deterioration of his back, was a major factor in terms of why they started falling off late in the series. I don't want to say that's the reason they lost or anything silly like that, but it was important. And he is currently dealing with knee soreness. If the Warriors win game four, they will have a lot of time off, but don't know if that's going to be enough time, especially considering he looked a little bit limited in game three of that series, and he basically had a week off. So that will be worth watching. And during the playoffs so far, he's been averaging about, I think it's 25 minutes a game. And remember that 25 includes, it's 25.6, includes game one, where he was marginalized because he played about 10 minutes because Mike Brown thought he looked a little hobbled out there. And so remember that while games that you do not appear in do not affect your minutes per game, limited minute performances absolutely do. So that 25 is on the low end for him. And for the sake of comparison, in the, I believe it was the 2015 finals, he averaged 37 minutes per game, and he only started the final three games of that series. He didn't start until the Warriors went down 2-1, and he started that game four in Cleveland. So if he's healthy and if he's ready to roll, and considering how well the Warriors play when he's on the floor, if you start to move his minutes up, then this starts to get even clearer. So I'm going to go through the basic numbers now. So 42.5 for Curry, little under 38 for Klay, 37 for Draymond, 41 for Durant, and those guys, you know, that's kind of a sliding scale between the two of those guys. 25 for Iguodala, 16 for Livingston, 26 for the centers collectively, and then those remaining 5.5 for Ian Clark, basically the minutes that Curry doesn't play. So if you go through that, that seems like a reasonable listing for me. The guy with the most mobility in either direction is Andre Iguodala. If he starts moving up, then you start to really reduce the remaining minutes, and if he plays about this level, then you can do that. Livingston's could go down too. So you go through all those numbers and you say, okay, well, where are we with the rest of the 240? And there are only 9 minutes left. 9 minutes is not much. You could even make that up in just some of the assumptions I'm making if you think it's on the low end. If you start moving Draymond Green to 40 minutes a game, move Klay up to 39 or something like that, you take that 8.9 and you get it all the way down to maybe like 5 or 6. And to me, the most logical player for those minutes is Patrick McCaw. I think McCaw should actually get a portion of Livingston's minutes because he is more dangerous off the bounce, and because Livingston, like McCaw, is not a perfect defensive fit against Cleveland, especially if Klay and Steph are playing a lot, because he can't really defend threes at this point. But what makes Cleveland fascinating as a potential opponent is that while LeBron James is an absolute demon at that, and you want to make sure that you have great personnel on him all the time, there are other wings in particular are not necessarily going to punish the Warriors for it. And so the question will be, can Cleveland's bigs punish those guys on switches? So Kyle Korver, I'm not worried about Patrick McCaw guarding him. I'm not worried about Sean Livingston guarding him. But if they do some sort of action that the Warriors want to switch involving Kevin Love, involving Tristan Thompson, or involving LeBron, then those things start to get into form. So that will be worth watching moving forward. But again, if we're talking about 9 minutes per game or even a combined 15 for Clark and McCaw together, that is a very, very, very good place for the Warriors to be. And there's also a distinct possibility, I would say it would be more of a mistake than anything else, that Matt Barnes is going to get a share of those minutes. Barnes has looked limited since he returned from his knee and foot issues, but also because he provides this kind of false comfort against LeBron specifically, where Barnes, you sit there and go, oh, that could work. But he is not one of the Warriors' best options against LeBron. So in the case of foul trouble, maybe you go there. But I would try Iguodala. I would try Durant. I would even try Draymond Green if you can afford it for foul trouble reasons before you go to Matt Barnes. And so he's kind of the last line of defense in that way. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the Warriors manage this. And the broader scope thing that working through all this and doing the math on it, as limited as the math is on this, reminded me is how easy it is for the Warriors to give a large portion of their minutes to their absolute best players. And that is a luxury that having four All-Stars provides, is that they can put a lot of these minutes together, and they have these escalating benefits beyond the whole fatigue issue of giving those guys more minutes, because playing each of them more means that they also get more time together. And the Warriors have played very well when they've had a large portion of those All-Stars on the floor together, and the prospect of Iguodala fitting in more than the 25 minutes per game he's played in the playoffs so far really does ratchet up those potential benefits. And I would argue that moving away from some of their center heavy lineups could do it too, though there could be a place for those lineups, especially if Tristan Thompson gets a significant role in the series. While Thompson is wonderful and he's a good player, he also allows the Warriors to use some of those center lineups, and I don't think they should, but if they're less destructive than they would be otherwise, that could be considered a good thing for the Warriors. So still a lot more to process, still a lot more to discuss, and of course the Warriors have not clinched their place in the NBA Finals. It looks likely to happen at some point in the next probably 2 games. From what I am hearing, it sounds like Kawhi Leonard is not going to play in Game 4. That makes complete sense to me. The risk is just too high to make it anything, and Popovich and their coaching staff has shown and their medical staff have shown the propensity to be cautious when there's a reason to be cautious, and there certainly is with an MVP candidate who's still young. And while they could certainly win a game or two, they are going to be underdogs to win the series in just about every single game, so the risk there is just too high. So I'm I'm interested to see that. And then I don't think that it's a huge relative advantage if Cleveland takes care of business in their next two games. And I don't think the rest versus rust thing is going to be a big deal in the NBA Finals. But we do know now that Cleveland has to play at least two more games. And not only does that lead to more fatigue, they play LeBron a ton of minutes basically whenever he's on the floor. But as fans of the NBA know, more games means a higher chance of injury, partially the stressor ones, the cumulative stress ones, but also just the idea of more random chance. You know, it's kind of like if there's only one side of the die that's really bad, but that's catastrophic, rolling the die more times increases the risk that something bad happens. So you never want it. It's not something that anybody is looking for, but it is worth keeping an eye on moving forward. And if Cleveland does take care of business in those two games, they'll still have a week off. So not like they're going to be gassed or gone through this emotional series like the Warriors have actually benefited from in the last two rounds. I mean, San Antonio had that inspiring but still tough win against the Rockets, and so they had a short rest, and then the Clippers faced the Jazz and pushed them to a game seven before game one of the second round series. So that will be an advantage that does not exist in the same form. But if you remember, the Warriors started out game one of this series incredibly flat, and from what I recall, they started out game one of the Jazz series a little bit flat as well. They still won both of those games, but it is worth noting at the same point. So lots to take in, lots to discuss. I didn't initially intend on going looking to the NBA Finals right now, but it was something that kind of was rattling around in my brain as I was working on other things today. And so I'm like, hey, I'll do that podcast now. I was going to do it anyway. So thank you so much for listening. You can read my game analysis of game three of the Spurs series on The Athletic, and I will have one of game four as well as a podcast at some point after the game. Not exactly sure when. It'll depend on my own availability. And still working out what exactly, if we're going to have a Twitter NBA show tomorrow and in what form. I'm probably going to be watching the game with Nate Duncan, and we'll figure out if we want to put it on video or not. That's something that we're planning at the moment, but if you want to check it out, you can follow him, Nate Duncan NBA, on Periscope or on Twitter and get mobile notifications. We also, you know, we're doing Dunked On and everything else, and my off-season preview of the Warriors will not come for a little while, but have one on the Minnesota Timberwolves and a lot of other stuff for Sports Illustrated. Still cool to say, so you can check that out too. And if you want to support the show, you can leave a rating, leave a review in the podcast player of your choosing. You can also subscribe, download every episode. Those are big things you can do to help. Spread the word however you see fit. Really do appreciate that. And if you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com, @DannyLarue on Twitter. If you take the time to read it, I will, or if you take the time to write it, I will take the time to read it. Can certainly tell it's after midnight. And I don't promise I'll respond. I have a lot of emails and I get it, but I do read everything. I promise that I actually do it. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.